All right, thank you for that message and song. I suspect host of heaven was shocked when the Son of God was willing to leave it all to come die for us sinners. Appreciate that good message and song. I want you to go to the New Testament. I want you to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. We're only going to read a couple of verses. I'm going to kind of give you the setting of it because I believe I can do that faster perhaps than read all of it. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. I'm going to speak to you right out of the text here. The title of what I want to call this in the text is called Satan's Devices, down in verse 11. So I'm going to preach to you on the devil's devices this morning, 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Somebody says, you preachers always talking about having trouble out of the devil. I never meet him. It's because you're walking the same way he is. You can't meet somebody that's going the same direction, right? The truth of the matter is, he is real. I hope you know that. Apostle Paul refers to it here in 2 Corinthians chapter 2. I read verse 10 and 11 and then talk about them a little bit. It says, to whom you forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgave anything, to whom I forgave it for your sakes, forgave I it in the person of Christ, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we're not ignorant of his devices. Now, you need to understand what Paul is talking about. In the context here, he's written two letters to the church at Corinth. In the first letter in chapter 5, they had asked him, and he was referring what to do about a young man in the church that it was into gross sin. Apparently, he was into adultery with his own stepmama. Now, that's kind of what's the context. And the Apostle Paul tells the church it's not a laughing matter. It's not something you can overlook. It's very serious. And he tells them to turn that young man over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh. You can read it in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Now, I don't know if you understand exactly what the apostle is saying here. I think a lot of church members today, many of them are good churches, but church members that have kind of turned their back on God, they've gone into the world, they're doing their own thing. You know, I think they're saved. If they die, they go to heaven maybe. But they've turned their back on serving the Lord and being faithful to the Lord. I don't know whether you realize it or not, but you're getting out from under the umbrella of God's protection, and Satan's going to have a lot of fun with you. Paul talks about turning this man over to the devil, to Satan, for the destruction of the flesh. Now, if you're really born again, if you're really saved, Satan can't get your soul. He can sure make your physical life miserable. And when you get out of God's path and get out in his briar patch on the side of the road, not where you're supposed to be, you're going to understand the devil loves that. He loves to destroy you if he can. And that's what Paul is saying here to the church. Now, they've written Paul back, apparently. And they've said, we done what you said. And the man has repented and got right, genuine. Now, what do we do? And Paul is telling them, go ahead and forgive him. And then Paul is very wise about this. And we Christians are guilty of this so many times. If God forgave the man, Paul is saying, then I forgive him. Folks, we're awful times, we're oftentimes guilty. God does the forgiving, but we won't. We put ourselves in danger. And that's what Paul is saying. He said, I'm not ignorant of Satan's devices. He's saying, I would be wrong. I did a good thing. I did what was right. Your church did what was right. But now that he has asked forgiveness and got it from God, now it's our turn. The ball's back in our court for us to forgive, lest we that did a good thing do a bad thing in the way we handle this thing and give an open door to the devil to come in. That's one of his devices. Now, Paul was not self-righteous. Paul was not, being judgmental. He did the judging he was supposed to do. But then when the man repented, Paul says, yes, I forgive him in Christ. And you know, Peter had that question. He asked the Lord Jesus when he was walking here in the flesh and being a disciple, following the Lord. He said, Lord, how many times? Seven times? Do I forgive the man seven times? You remember what Jesus said? He said 7 times 70. What did he mean by that? Not 490. What he meant was keep on, keep on, keep on. And that's where we slack up sometimes. But he messed up again. Okay. Did he get right again? All right. Then forgive him again. Give him another chance. Lest Satan use a device on you. I don't know how it works. I haven't seen it with my own eyes. I read the scripture. It could be the devil is the accuser of the brethren. You know that, don't you? You do know he can come before the throne of God and he can accuse me and he can accuse you. And the trouble is he don't have to lie about us. Most of the time he's telling the truth. Nobody lies to God, and Satan can't lie to God. But we need to understand this, that the devil can say, you see how he handled that? Give him some of his own medicine. Well, I don't even say that about me. I'd rather make a mistake and forgive instead of hold a grudge. I'm speaking to Christians. Some families go through life holding a grudge. Some families sometimes, and sometimes it's friends and not family that we keep on. We better be careful. Satan's device is to trap you. When you've done a good thing, you can turn that thing into being a wrong thing if you don't handle it God's way. Now, the devil is real. He can destroy the flesh. Do you ever notice in the Bible when the Lord cast out the demons that the demon before he came out would tear the person, hurt the person? You ever notice that? Sure you have. By the way, a lot of folks commit suicide because the devil had his way and then he cast them down. Judas was a prime example. Now, Judas was a devil from the beginning. Jesus was never fooled by him. But the man part, the human part of Judas could not live with the fact he'd betrayed the Lord. He went back in, he cast the silver before the priest that he'd bargained with to betray the Lord, and he went out and hanged himself. He couldn't live with it. And I'll tell you this, the devil, when he gets through with somebody, often cast them down in suicide. It's one of the things that happens quite often. Quite often, it does. The human part can't live. You know, it's been in the news, this fellow Epstein, with all the dirty stuff he was into. And in jail, they say he hanged himself. Now, my own opinion is he probably got murdered. But at the same time, it could have been that he kind of came to himself and couldn't live with what he was doing. I don't know. But I know the devil is good about casting aside that one he's fooled, that one that he's deceived. Now, Paul here in the text is saying we're not ignorant of his devices. And I want to say to you, I'm going to itemize a few of those devices. We don't have time to go through them all, but I want you to think about it a little bit. What are some of these devices? Of course, the big device of Satan is deception. Every kind of way he wants to deceive. I think about the cute cartoon I saw in the newspapers right after one of these shootings, and the shootings keep occurring, and don't sell the devil short. He's in that stuff. But I saw a cartoon in the paper. It made more sense than some of the headlines. It showed a cartoon of what they think the devil looks like, cartoon figure of the devil. And after one of the shootings, and the devil is lying and laughing, and he's saying, good, they think it's the gun. We've deceived them again. They think it's the gun. No, it's the devil. Listen, the first murder was committed with an unconscious tool. I don't know whether it was a hoe or a shovel or a rock, but when Cain slew Abel, he had a tool. That tool was not alive, and the gun is not alive. It's not the gun that does the killing. It's the person pulling the trigger. It don't matter whether it's a gun or a bow and arrow or a rock or a spade or a hoe. I mean, it's still the man, amen? But the devil wants folks to be deceived, don't he? I look around today. What are some of his devices? And young people, listen to me. Personal popularity today is a big device of the devil. Sell out your morals. How about Hollywood as you look out there? How many young people would like to be a Hollywood movie star? Well, why don't you follow them to the end and see how they wind up? You know, suicide is rampant among them. When they begin to lose their looks, they begin to lose their popularity. They a long time ago lost their morals and their character, and all of a sudden they can't live with their self either. And you read about some of the names I could use that you would recognize, and some of you'd get offended if I used some of them. But why don't you check out how they turned out, and then you'll see they were deceived. You'll see they fell for the device of popularity. Check them later. Some of these go-go girls wound up chug-chug girls later. Check them out. I think it was, well, I'm about to use names. I'll just let it alone. But the truth of the matter is what they thought was their popularity later on turned out they couldn't hardly live with what they... And by the way, the Bible plan is still the best. I saw a stat this week where America doesn't have enough babies being born to sustain ourselves very many years in the future. While we're putting ourselves in trillions of dollars of debt, we're not going to have babies left over to grow up and be workers and taxpayers to help pay off the debt. Amen. It's the truth. I want to tell you, young ladies, God's got a plan for you. He's got a partner for you. He wants you to raise a family and raise children. That's God's plan. It's not His plan for you to necessarily sparkle around on stage for a little bit, and then as you get older and you lose your looks and your health, then you just hand God a little bit of dry hide and a little bit of hair and say, "Here I am, Lord." No, He'd love to have you at your best and use you for His glory. Amen. I'm going to have to amen myself this morning. I know it's a hurricane crowd or something, but we're going to, the longer I have to suffer up here, the longer you're going to suffer out there. Amen? But you know, the devil has some devices. Wealth is one of them. Read about it in Luke chapter 12. The rich man said, "I know what I'll do. I'll pull down my barns and get bigger barns, and I'll say, 'Soul, you got much laid up. Eat, drink, and take your ease.' And that night God said, 'Thou fool, this night shall thy soul be required of thee.'" I was seeing something on TV where the grave robbers dig into the over the tombs in Egypt, and where the pharaohs and all of them were buried. And you know, they were buried with their wealth. But guess what? They're gone and the wealth's still there. And the grave diggers still go in and get it. I don't know who in the world is so deceived by the devil to think you're going to take it with you, brother. Number one, if you go to the right place, you won't need it. It's already there. And number two, if you don't go to the right place, it sure won't help you in the wrong place. Amen. I'm saying to you, the devil lies about this thing of just sell out to me and you can have all this. Any of you remember the old story, and I don't remember it very well myself, in literature? I think it was called The Devil and Daniel Webster. A man had sold his soul, hypothetically. A lot of them do it in reality, but the story was a man had sold his soul to the devil. And the devil had told him, "Your crops will bring forth, you'll be rich, you'll have all this. I'll give you all this, but in the end, your soul is mine." Well, the end comes. Some of us older folks can't imagine we're as old as we are. But it got here, didn't it? It got here. It came. How'd it come? 1 minute, 1 hour, 1 day, 1 week, 1 month at a time. But it kept on coming, didn't it? Now it's here. Blessed is the man that can look back and say it was a good trip. And blessed is the woman that can say, "Praise God, I lived my life this way and gave it to Jesus instead of giving it to the world." Amen. But anyway, that story in literature was, I think the title of it was The Devil and Daniel Webster. And so the devil came to collect the soul, and the man didn't want to pay up. He wanted to renege on the bargain. He'd had the wealth, but now life was over, and the devil was fixing to carry his soul off, and he wanted to get out of that contract with the devil. And so he hired the lawyer, Daniel Webster. And the story goes that they went to court. And Daniel Webster argued for the man's soul. Now, I don't remember all the turnout about it, how it ended, but I want to tell you something. It couldn't end well. You sell out to the devil, it's not going to end well. And the truth is, you're not going to get out of the deal. It's going to be too late one day. The Bible says it's appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. It's coming. It's at the end of the road. And the devil has a lot of tricks. He has a lot of devices. One of them is false religion. Man, I tell you, there's probably no bigger trick than that. There's a lot of folks that are religious but lost. They've been deceived by the devil. They've fallen into his trap. False religion, trying to earn their way. All kind of heresies has amazed me. Some of you folks will look out for it. There's a religion of reincarnation. You find the Hindu religion. Maybe you saw it on TV. I saw where millions had gathered at the Ganges River, at Dirty River, and they're all going in by the millions in there. If you and I had an ounce of that water, it'd kill us. But they go in there. What are they doing? They're trying to wash away their sins. You don't wash away your sins. Only the blood of Jesus you've been hearing us sing about can wash away your sins. But a whole crowd. I'm going to be a little gross with this, but it showed one of their holy men taking a shower off the urination stream of his God, the cow. Filthy, dirty, false religion inspired of the devil. And yet how many folks are fooled with that stuff? That's one of his devices. Well, how do you recognize his devices? There's so many. Well, the Bible gives you a plan to check it out. I point out 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1. I'm going to flip over there if you can. Turn with me. Listen to it. Talking to saved people now. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. And you better remember this when you watch it on TV. Yes. Even saved people get to listen to the wrong spirits sometime. Try the spirits. Here's the test. Verse 2. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof you've heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. Then there's a good verse following that. Ye are of God, little children, talking about you and I that are saved in Christ, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Don't kid yourself. Spirits are everywhere. You better know how to test them. You better know how. Let me tell you, a spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ was God is the wrong spirit. Jesus Christ was God incarnate in the flesh. He is King of kings and Lord of lords, and all the false religions that bring him down to be just another God on the shelf, that's a device of the devil. It's a trick of hell. You better watch out for that sort of stuff. Listen, here's what gets young people and others. Anything that's supernatural, they want to think is God, but it's not. You go to a fortune teller and they seem to tell you something that comes true. That don't mean that that's of God. The devil lies to you, and the false spirits are involved and they trick you. I've said this so many times. Mother used to give me medicine by mixing it with orange juice or Coke. The good stuff made me swallow the stuff I didn't want to swallow. And what you got today is you got a lot of deception going on, and a lot of folks are swallowing the wrong stuff. Because it's got enough truth in it to deceive them, Do you know how to test the spirits? Yes, they will speak to you. Where they speak? They speak in your head. They speak in your heart. They'll speak off a written page. They'll speak off of a TV screen. And they'll speak off that little phone you carry around your hand. Oh, yes, they can. Yes, they can. You better know how to test them. They have all kind of tools of deception. In 2 Corinthians, I'll flip over there since we're here. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, look at it over here and pick it up in about verse 14 of 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And notice what it says. It says, for such are false apostles, verse 13, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. He's saying Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. His ministers also are transformed, faking it. And the truth is, that is so prevalent today, so common today. The angel of light, the deceiver. How dangerous it is. How careful. Listen, say, well, how do I protect myself? Number one, you get saved and then you stay by the book. This is the manual you go by. Live by it. It'll build a fence of protection around you. It'll help you to have discernment. It'll keep you from being deceived. There's a lot of deception going on today in religious circles. A lot of old churches being deceived. You know what's replaced the blood-bought gospel of Christ? Green religion. Yeah. Nature. Protect the planet. All that. But listen, God made this planet, and he made it to last just as long as he wants it to. And he supplied it with everything that it needs to the end. You can go out here and drive an electric car if you want to. That's okay. You're not prolonging the planet. Help yourself. Go ahead and get rid of your plastic straws and cups all you want to. You haven't done a thing. Listen, God that made this planet knows what it takes to sustain it. Like he promised Noah, it's going to keep on being seed time and harvest, summer and winter, until it's over. And when it's over, brother, it'll be over no matter what you do with your fossil fuels and the rest of that junk they're talking about. Help yourself, world out there. See, the devil is tricky. He's got some devices. But the test is Jesus. Test is Jesus. You remember in the Bible when Jesus was casting out devils? You remember they never denied him as being the Son of God. You know what they said? They said, "What hast thou to do with us, thou Son of God? Have you come here to torture us before our time, before the time?" They said, "The time." They know the time is coming. The time of their judgment is coming. They know that. You remember the demons he cast out of the maniac, and they said, "Let us go in the swine." Remember that? Well, they knew who he was. They never deny him, never deny him. They knew who he was. But he had control over them. He had the power over them. And he was in charge. I look around today, and there's demons behind the homosexual agenda. There's demons behind this drag queens reading storybooks to kindergartners. That's true, folks. A lot of mothers are trying to intervene. They better intervene a lot quicker. Amen. The truth is, there's a devil behind that stuff. No doubt about it that it is. The hate for godliness today, there's devils behind that. That's their device. The president was over at the G7 conference, wherever they held it over in Europe, and seven or eight nations, whatever it is. And did you hear the liberals fussing because they wanted that conference to come out with a resolution saying that all nations were obligated for abortion on demand? That's the bottom line. They're going to word it different, but that's what it was. And they're so upset and they're blaming President Trump because they wouldn't put that in the resolution. Well, if he had something to do with it, praise God, he'll have a reward for saving babies. Amen. And but you look around and see the device of hatefulness in America today. It's all aimed at God's side of things, out of godliness. See, the devil, though, don't want you to know he's defeated. He's been defeated. But 1 Peter 5:8 says he goes about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, right? Now, you know something, a roaring lion ain't going to hurt you, but a biting lion can. But I got news for you. Satan's teeth's been pulled. I saw in New York where they gonna pass a law where the people that own cats couldn't declaw them. Now, if I wanted a cat, I'd want the whole thing, including the claws. Put him out in the barn where the mice are. But anyway, where he belongs. Anyway, all right, help yourself. But that same place where they're passing the law, you can't declaw the cat, is the place you can kill the babies even after they're out of the womb. Don't think the devil's behind that? He is. He's behind that. Sure he is. No doubt about it. I'm sure that's the case. But you see, Satan don't want you to know he's defeated. See, the resurrection defeated Satan. You know, they came to Pilate after Christ was crucified and put in the tomb. And the leadership of the Pharisees and the priests came to Pilate. And they said, that deceiver said he'd rise in 3 days. So we want you to give us a guard so that the error won't be worse because they claim a resurrection. You know what Pilate said to him? He said, make it as safe as you can. What he meant was, you're not going to hold him, boys. He's coming out just like he said. Make it just as safe as you can. But he didn't believe they could. And I want to say to you, Satan tried to stop him from going to the cross, but he couldn't. He tried to keep him in the grave, but he couldn't. So our sins have been paid for. He was raised, the scripture says, for our justification. If you know the Lord Jesus as Savior, your sins went under the blood. You stand justified before the judgment bar of God. You are saved, and the devil can't take it away. And he don't want people to know that he don't have that power anymore. So he bluffs. One of his devices is to deceive and to lie. But he couldn't stop Christ from the cross. He couldn't stop him from rising from the grave. But his final device is to keep you from knowing and accepting that. Think about it a minute. His final device is to get you to put off being saved. Get you to wait till tomorrow or next year or when you get this done and when you get this straightened out and when you get your life cleaned up. That's what he wants you to think. He wants you to put it off. You've heard me tell this before, but a preacher had a dream one time. He dreamed that somehow he slipped out into eternity and was brought into a chamber where he heard the devils making a plan. There was the big devil himself. And all, we use the word demons, the King James don't. All the word comes from diabolos, and you have one devil and many devils in the King James Bible. It's okay to call it demons from the word. But he said he went into this place, and there was Satan, the big devil. And he was having a huddle. He was having a meeting. He was having a planning session. And the question was, who will go to earth and steal men's souls? You'll go and deceive them, prevent them from being saved. And he said, as I dreamed, one devil jumped up and said, I got the plan. I'll go to earth. I'll tell them that Jesus was not real. He was not the Son of God. Another one jumped up and said, I'll tell them their sins cannot be paid for. Another one jumped up and said, I'll tell them they've got to earn their way to heaven. One after another popped up. And Satan kept saying, that won't work. That won't work. They know who Jesus was. He was the Son of God. That won't work. They know he came forth from the dead. That won't work. And finally, the preacher dreamed he saw one devil jump up and say, I've got the answer. I'll go to earth and I'll tell them Jesus was the Son of God. I'll tell them he came and died for their sins. I'll tell them that the blood of Jesus cleanses from all sin. I'll tell them that he did rise from the dead. But I'll tell them while all of that is true, I'll tell them you've got plenty of time. You don't have to get saved right now. And it said that the devil himself said, that'll work. That'll work. That'll work. Get them to procrastinate, put it off, thinking they got plenty of time, and they'll die lost. I want to say to you, it looks to me like that's working. As a preacher, it looks to me like that's working. I've seen it work so many times. I've seen people come sit on these pews you're sitting on this morning, and they won't get saved because they're going to do it later. And they never have. They never have. And I can tell you story after story of people I looked in the eye sitting where you're sitting. And they died without getting saved because they thought they had plenty of time. Oh, if you'd ask them, you believe Jesus was the Son of God? Yes. You believe he died for your sins? Yes. You believe he rose from the grave? Yes. How come you don't get saved? I'm just not quite ready yet. You ever hear that one? Heard it all my ministry. The devil's got a lot of devices. Is he using one on you today? Maybe in radio land, maybe here in the building. I don't know. I don't know. But if he can keep you lost till you breathe your last, he's trapped you. His device has stolen your soul. I pray that wouldn't happen today. I pray it wouldn't. But it is happening all over the place. Please don't let it happen to you today. Do you know he loved you, died for you, rose from the dead, proving he was God? Do you know that he paid for every sin you've ever committed? Do you know that? Knowing it is one thing, accepting Christ as your Savior, as your payment, as a substitute that took your place, accepting him and allowing his blood to pay for your sins, that's the key. You know, hurricane or something comes and folks get all concerned. There's something greater than that. There's a judgment storm coming one day before God Almighty. And men are going to answer for what they did with his son. That, as the song said a while ago, gave it all up to come to this old earth and die for our sins that we could be saved. Are you saved this morning? You could be before you leave this building. Jesus said, whosoever cometh unto me, I'll in no wise cast out. That's you and you and you and people in radio land. I'll in no wise cast out. You come to him, he'll accept you. Will you accept him today? That's the question. Would you bow your head with me, please? Father, we come to you in prayer. Lord, we've done about all we can do. We've warned of the enemy's deception, of his devices. We see him working on people right and left. People selling their soul for a little bit of this world they can't hold on to. Nothing that they can take with them. Nothing that can answer for their soul. And I pray, Father, for those listening today that they would not be deceived, that the devices would not work on them. And Father, the greatest of all is to ignore and put off and not receive Christ as Savior. I pray you'd bless the invitation today, Father. I pray that as we give a verse of song, invite men and women to come, that some would come this morning. I pray that you'd have your way and that Jesus could be lifted up. And we ask it in his precious name. Amen. Let's stand, please. We're going to have an invitation song. I'm going to step to the front. If you'll meet me here and receive Christ, will you come? Leave that seat and come. Don't put it off any longer. Will you come as we sing? Just how